This is a recording of a conversation between Charles Walters and myself, Morris Mitchell, in March 1962, recounting some of the background of the Walters family and our experiences there in the Summers.
Now, Charles, you were telling me a little about your father, things that I never had heard. Your father was born in 1830, that is...
1830, yes,
He died in 95.
95, yes.
And he was 65.
Yes, 65, right.
So he was born in 1830.
Yeah.
Now, what did he do, Charles?
He took engineering.
And did he practice?
He practiced engineering for Madison County for a number of years. And he also made the first complete survey of Charlottesville. Then he made the first certain survey of the town of Orange, the county of Culpeper, and that he was consulted on a quantity of the various other, especially in some suitcases in Richmond.
And then he was in the Civil War.
Civil War, yes. And I don't know what regiment he was in. He was in the Engineers. Yeah, it's Lee's Army, yes.
And was he from Orange County originally?
Yeah, originally born, raised in Orange County.
And the name of the place that we grew up on in the summer was called Retreat,
Retreat in Orange County.
Now, was that an old plantation of the Walker family?
The Walker, James Walker. That is the old, and the other... where he was raised, it was in the Forks of the Rabbit Ann and Robinson River.
Was that what you called the Lower Plantation?
Yeah, Lower Plantation, yes.
So your family had two plantations?
Yes, had two plantations.
And you know...
The Walkers and the Porters and Madison came over on the north side, I mean the west side of the Rappahannock River, and the three of them bought 5,000 acres from Mr. John Grimes. Mr. John Grimes was given this grant to raise grapes for the king and queen.
Well.
And then they operated 1 year. The next year, insect got into the grapevine. Then he sold it 1,000 acres to the Walkers, and 2,500 to the Madisons. And to the Porters on 1,050 acres, and 1778.
That was 1778.
78, and that old home place is still standing.
Which one?
That's the old Porter house.
The Porter house.
Yeah. My grandfather. You see that my father's mother was a porter, and the land was put up into four tracts, and when that was divided in 1778, he built a house down there, and that house is still standing down there now.
Is it still being used?
It used and just been fixed up.
Well, maybe we could ride out sometime and see.
It's just an old-fashioned house there.
Now, you're related then to the Porters and the Walkers and the Walters. What about the Madisons? You relatives?
No, we not no woman, no with the matters.
No kin to them?
No.
How many acres were in the place we knew as retreat?
Oh, no, well, it was 1,050, it was 1,050 acres.
And what about the lower place? How many
acres? Oh, no, that was cut up into four parts. And I don't know how much, 300 and some acres.
That you are?
Yeah, another 302 acres.
Yeah.
And the meantime that my brother, he put up a beautiful home up there in the woods and then sold it. And then one of our cousins bought it, and he has fixed it up, went down to the old house. Only thing he left in the house was the studding and the chair boarding.
The studding and the what?
The chair boarding, and put all of the rest of it for his tenant.
I don't know what chair boarding means.
The stucco that comes up around, you see.
Oh, wainscoting.
Wainscoting or stuccoing.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, now, there's a Walker family living not far away from Wake Forest, somewhere in there with beautiful old boxwood around. Which one of the Walkers is that? I went by there looking for you.
That's Frank Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that land a part of their original 5,000?
Part of 5,000 of it. And then he owns around, about 2,400 acres of it.
And still operates.
It still operates it. And the School of Woodbury Forest is on it.
And he does pretty well.
Yeah,
as a farmer.
Yes.
Now, I remember the house as it was when we were children, but that was not the original house, was it?
Oh no, that is burned.
Well now, the original house, was it as fine as the one we knew?
Just about, built on the same foundation.
And built just about the same
plan. The only addition was that we put on the little for where we did the cooking and where they did the washing on the other side.
That is, that cookhouse, well, that was original, wasn't it?
Yeah, the cookhouse was original.
Yeah.
Where the cook slept, that was made for in slavery time, and that is 40 by 40 had a place to 20 by 20 to do the cooking in it. Then it had a 16 by 20 to feed them in. And then they had a big room there for the cook to stay in.
That's right. And then there was a little hallway and a place where you used to keep walnuts. As I remember, what direction did the house face, by the way?
It faced east.
It faced east, so south of the house was the cookhouse.
The east. It's the southeast.
Southeast.
Yeah.
And that was as you've described it. Then just outside of that was the ash house.
Ash house. Yes.
And then
just out on the other side of that, what mother called on summertime places to put a vegetables. Had two rooms, one room, and then the other the meat house.
Yeah. Now, what was the ash house for? Why did you have such a nice house just for ashes?
To save ashes, and that's the only way we'd get a little light to wash clothes with.
Well, I didn't know why. I thought it was for
No, sir.
So
you know, every fall, all the ashes were taken up and put in that house. And in the fall, we had a concrete little house sink down so all the water would run out. And we would keep that, and if it was it would run out. That's what we washed with. We'd mix it with a gill to 2 gallons of water, and what wash your clothes with.
You'd mix what now?
The lye from the ashes.
One gill?
Yeah, one gill to 2 gallons.
Well, how would you get the water out to get the lye?
You'd have to get the water and pour on top of it and let it come on down.
Well, and then did you measure the liquid or the dry lye?
We just had a little cup. That we'd measure so much and take one of those and take 2 gallons of water and mix that on up and wash with it.
And this gel, that would be a gel of the liquid.
Liquid
gel.
Yeah.
Came off of.
Yeah, the lye from it.
And then you'd mix that with 2 gallons of water.
Yeah.
And then you'd mix that with grease or not?
Oh, no, indeed. Just put your clothes in and wash it.
Yes, with the
lye. Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yes. Well, you could do all of that with the heavy washing, but you could not do it with fine stuff, because the lye would spot it a little if it wasn't thoroughly mixed.
And then next to the ash house was a hen house. Then wasn't there another little house beyond that?
What a corn house.
Corn house?
Yeah, big corn, double corn house.
Yeah.
And that held 250 barrels of corn. And then as you right as you come in was another corn house that had housed 250 barrels of corn.
Well. And then beyond that was an outhouse, wasn't it?
Yes, it was where the servants used to stay.
And then
in between where we had this for the corn house, we had for our buggies.
Well, now let me see, you're getting a little far away, because up on the other side, I seem to remember a smokehouse or meat house or something.
Yeah, like that on the back.
Back, yes.
Backside.
A meat house.
Yes. And in other words, when the houses were on the back, there were three houses right around there.
Yeah.
And then on the other side was two shops just beyond that.
That's right. Now, also there was a schoolhouse.
Yeah, old schoolhouse, yes.
With an old sewing machine in it.
Yes.
I remember. Then there was a greenhouse.
Yes, a greenhouse, yes.
Who built the greenhouse?
My father built that.
And then the other side of the greenhouse was a real nice garden.
Yeah, nice garden. Nice garden. Well, a quarter of an acre garden.
It seems to me like there's about 5 acres the way I remember.
but a quarter of an acre, and then right behind that, it was a quarter of an acre of pear trees and peach trees.
And we used to get on the other side, down below the smokehouse, we used to get green apples, and Aunt Jane would slice them up and put bacon grease with them, or bacon, and fry them in the morning.
Yes, they were good, wasn't they?
Now, let me see. Out past the shop were there was an old house nearly falling down.
Yes, that is an old shop.
Oh, that was the old shop.
And, that is the old shop. And we discontinued that. It was so bad, we discontinued that and just used the other two. We could do it both.
Well,
and in other words, when that one was falling down, they would come in and tie up horses to shoe them.
Yeah. Well, how many shops were there all together then?
There were three.
Why did they have three?
Well, one what they had was known as a carpenter shop.
Yeah.
And the next one was a tool shop. And
what do you mean by tool shop?
Where we kept all of our tools and so forth.
Like mowing machines and all?
Yes, and all that stuff.
The combine?
Yeah. No, we didn't have the combines then. Cradles.
Well, the first time I ever saw you, Miss Ann, your sister, took me out to the field. You were cutting wheat. And they had four horses hitched up to the cradle. And Uncle Mose was riding on a horse named Queen.
Go ahead.
And you came up from underneath the cradle, and your face was so black and greasy that I thought you were a Negro. Right?
I remember that distinctly.
We had have a Negro for a brother. Yeah. I thought to myself when I was a little child.
I can recall that as well as what was yesterday.
Yeah.
Right where the pitman rod came out, it began to leak oil, and I had to take the thing up, and I had to stop that leaking, the oil going down. And I'd start it up, and I'd go in, and I was sweating, and take my
you'd wipe your face with
your
eyes.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, now, that was what you called the 50-acre field.
No, there were 50-acre fields. When we had 6 50-acre fields.
Had 6 50-acre.
Six shares.
6 50-acre fields. And this was one of those.
Yes, one of those. Yes. So that is down below the house.
That's right across the creek.
Yeah.
You call that Little Run, do you?
Yeah, Little Run. Yeah.
Was it also called Beaver Creek?
And the Beaver Dam, usually. And you know the reason why they called it Beaver Dam?
No.
Up near, not up there near the Little Lost Mountain, it was so the beavers had some beavers had come and they had put down and made a dam up there. And then the branch was named Beaver Dam.
Was that close to your home?
Oh, it ran right down through us.
I know, but where the dam was?
No.
That was above us. Well, now, below the old shop were some remains of old slave cabins.
Yes. My grandfather had five.
Five cabins,
yes.
That's about 20 or 30 slaves
yes.
All together then.
No, there were four rooms, there were five of them.
Let me see, there were five cabins.
Yes.
Each cabin was one room,
they were built, they were planked up and down. Then they were put brick in between. And then planked up on the inside.
They were planked up and down.
Yeah.
And then laid up with mortar and bricks.
Yeah.
And then planked on the inside.
Inside with this common plank.
Now why did they go to all that trouble of putting up
for heat? So they wouldn't heat, you see.
And each one of them had one room or four rooms?
No, they had four rooms. And each family had one upstairs had a fireplace, and one downstairs had a fireplace.
It was upstairs and downstairs.
The upstairs and downstairs. Yes.
Two rooms downstairs.
Yes,
two rooms upstairs.
Yes, and on the back side it was So the two families wouldn't interfere with each other.
And about how large were the families?
Oh, some of them are four or five.
Four or five children, yeah. Or four or five in the family?
Four or five in the family.
Well, that would only mean two or three children to the family. That
yeah.
seems like pretty small families.
Oh, small families.
They have small families.
Yeah, small families.
Now, what were they called? Did they have any last names?
Oh, yes. The Dubs and the Waldens, the Andersons, the Williams, and the Davises, and the Thompsons.
Well, now, where did they get those last names from?
Well, our grandfather named them.
And he just made up a last
yeah,
name.
Yeah, made up a last name. And we had one family, that one of our families worked for us for 100 years.
What was the name of that family?
A Dove family.
Now, you said the members of that family worked for you not as slaves, but
no.
slaves and free.
Slaves and free. My grandfather was married in 54.
In
1764.
In 1764.
Yes, and he had been married twice before, and he had he married a girl that he went to see the first time, and she never married. Hmm. He had four children.
Was she the porter?
No, she wasn't a porter.
No.
And she, my mother was a porter.
I see.
And he went over and wrote.
Well, your mother was a walker, wasn't she?
No. Yeah, she was a walker. She was a porter. You're right. You're right now.
Yeah, your mother was a walker, but your grandmother on your father's side was a porter.
Yeah. And his wife died with a child about 4 weeks old, and he wrote to the girl that he had known before he ever got married, and asked why she hadn't gotten married, and she wrote back, told him she didn't know what you'd do when your likely young fella came over. Well, he got on his horse next morning and went over to Little Ray and proposed that night. He wanted to marry her right away. She said, no. She says, there are two girls and two boys here, and none of them have been married. But says we got to fix up something for it. Well, he said he'd come back a certain day. Well, he went back, and he's married. Then he went over to get what things he wanted, and her sister said, "Now look here, Mary," he says, "you don't know a thing in the world about children." Says now you got two children. Three children right good size, and by George, you've got one just 2 months old. And says, now here's your nurse that has been nursing you, and 8 years ago her mother died at childbirth, and she had raised all the 8 children. You can have her. Well, she turned and says, "How about it be all right with you?" Says, "Yes." And she went and told Judy, and she fell out on the floor. Say she didn't want to go. She didn't want to go. She loved the boy down the road.
Well.
And her grandfather turned to her and said, "Now look here, Mary." He says, "Now if you want, want that boy going by. Come on, get the buggy and go." He went on over there. He'd been over there years before. And he came on, told him he wanted a buggy. Said, "Look here." He said, "Jim," says he, "used to be one of the best niggas that I ever had in my life. But in the last 2 months, tell him to do things, he's liable to do something over here." And he said, "I can't keep him from going up to the budgets. You can have the damn food." And you know that they my grandfather brought her over. And until 1952, it hadn't been a time since then that some of them wasn't working for us.
Well, now I remember what we called Uncle Dave, though.
Yeah, Uncle Dave, yes. Uncle Dave and Uncle George.
Then there was Charlie.
Yes, Charles, yes.
Was Charles...
Charles and Dick.
Was Charles a brother of Dave?
No, they were nephews.
Then there was Lottie, though.
Yes, yeah, she's Charles' sister.
Yeah. They're both dead, I
all think. Of them are dead.
All of them are dead.
No, all of those over there. No, it's one there that you never knew, and think the youngest one. Only one of the youngest ones, and Rolly, and he wasn't old enough.
No. Well, now let me see. There was Aunt Jane.
Yeah, and Aunt Jane.
What was her name?
Johnson. Jane Johnson. They all dead.
Well, now there was an Aunt Caroline Walden.
Well, yeah, she was one of Uncle George's sisters.
Uncle George Dove's.
Dove's sister, yes.
She had been a Dove.
Yeah, she'd been a Dove and married Walden. And up in where you know the settlement Negroes used to take you up there, isn't but one Negro left in that whole country up there.
Well, Aunt Caroline took a special fancy to me, and I thought a lot of her, and she gave me things to take away with me, some kind of strange crossed fruit.
Yeah.
Called a tomato peach or something.
Peach, yeah.
Then when I came back in next year, I was growing up a little, and I was shy, and I didn't quite go over to see Aunt Caroline. It's always hurt me, you know. That
yes, I'm, and now Ed Walden is the only one of the darkest that are living up there.
And they were all from the old slave family.
Yeah, main family, but that my grandfather bought over here in his third marriage.
Well, now, Charles is one that stands out in my mind as a kind of hero to me. And the first time I ever heard of him was the first day we arrived. Your sister, Miss Ann, came in with a buggy, or surrey, and I've forgotten which. She was driving us out, and then she blushed very deeply, and she said to my father, "I'm sorry, but I have to drive back again. We've just gotten a mile or two, I think. Because I have to see if Uncle Mose has been drinking too much."
Yeah, my Mose Roebuck.
So, what was his name?
Mose Roebuck.
Roebuck.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm glad to get that.
Well, yeah, Mose Roebuck, yeah.
Well, she got him, and then I came to know him. And I admired him tremendously. He was wonderfully built. And he used to say he could make and mend anything that was made out of wood or iron.
Yeah.
And he could make magnificent plaited bull whips.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Out of leather.
Yeah.
And then, I wanted to ask, was he from one of those original families?
Now I don't know. They were from the Jeffersons. And his people came from the Jeffersons, where Frank Walker lives. You see.
Is that kin to the Thomas Jefferson?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did your father know Thomas? Did your grandfather know Thomas Jefferson?
Yeah.
Well, your father was born a few years after Thomas Jefferson died.
Yeah.
But your grandfather knew Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, now, where did Uncle Mose Roebuck learn so many things? He could make furniture. He could make a wagon. He could shoe horses. He could make whips. He could plow. I never knew in my childhood.
Yeah. Well, now I'm going to tell you. He worked a long time for Mr. Tatum down there. And Mr. Tatum learned, and excuse the expression, taught him how to do those things.
Yeah.
And then he and Mr. Tatum sort of fell out. And and Motors worked for me for a long time. Then I bought him a little place up there on the road. And he went up there. I'm going to tell you, he was as much man as I ever knew. He had the biggest hand, and then he wore number 12 shoes.
That's the way I remember it.
Yeah.
I just wanted to find out if my memory was right. Well, now then, there was a line of cabins, and then across Little Creek was a graveyard in a forest.
Yes,
yeah.
That was the woods.
A kind of a wood cemetery.
Yeah, I said old wood cemetery.
Yeah.
Old wood cemetery there.
Now, up the stream and on the near side was a tenant house or something. What was the origin of that house?
We built that for, because those other houses had just given out. And we had to have so much labor.
So it was for white people?
Yeah, white people, yes.
I found an old sword underneath that house. One time, I don't suppose you remember, but a sheep died from what they call worms in the brain or something.
Yeah.
And you gave it a mixture of whiskey and linseed oil, but it seemed to die. So we carried it and threw it on an ash pile back of that tenant house. And you came back 3 days later to pluck it, and that thing got up and walked away.
Yeah.
And it had been lying in exactly the same position as though it were dead for 3 days.
3 days, yeah.
And got up, and that I'll always remember. Well, now let's come around. There were one or two more houses on that side. There was a buggy house.
Yeah, but there's a buggy house and a hen house.
And the hen house?
A little hen house.
All right. Now
the little hen house was put up there for my aunt.
Now, there are two more houses on that side that you haven't remembered. I bet you can't think of them.
Yeah. Let me come on up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There were 7 houses over there.
All right. Now, you haven't mentioned them all. Between the schoolhouse and retreat.
Ice house.
And ice house is one, and you never would remember the other.
Yeah.
A pigeon house.
Yeah, a pigeon
house. Pigeon house. But now on the other side of this house and plantation, there was the well, and there's a about like that. That's fine. Now, I was saying on the other side was the well house. And then there were some pig houses and so on.
Oh, yeah.
Then down below that was a cuppin. Isn't that what you called it?
Yeah.
Cuppin?
Yeah.
Cowpen.
Yeah, cowpen, yeah.
And what was that building there that had a breezeway through it, and
that's a hay house.
Hay house.
Yes.
Well, is that what you called it?
A hay house. And we had just gotten a fork that we could drive the wagon in there and it'd put it over on this side either put it over on that side, wouldn't have to handle it.
Yeah. And then below that was a stable, wasn't
it? Yeah, stable, yeah.
And below that was a granary.
Yeah, big granary.
Big granary.
Yeah.
Now, my brother brought us, made a study of Elmira prisoners, I remember it many years ago. And he talked with a Confederate soldier that had escaped from Elmira, and in escaping and running away, hid in that granary one night.
One good day.
And then I remember a road ran on down past the granary, and there was a hay barn down there.
Yes, that was on my aunt's place. You see my mother in that division there. She got that, you see.
But I never knew her.
She died about 18 years before y'all came up there.
She was your mother's sister.
Yeah, my sister, single sister. One of the finest women I ever knew in my life. Only my mother and her nanny were the only people that I ever knew that ever said anything harm against anybody but one, and both of them cussed her a preacher once.
Well, I remember once you went up into the mountains and brought back some shingles made out of chestnuts.
Yeah, chestnut shingles, yeah.
And you covered that barn.
Yeah, cover that barn right over to the right as you go in on the turnaround.
Yeah, and you know those memories of getting up on that barn and working with people.
Yeah,
that was so meaningful to me that's why I'm here today, because those things seem to give meaning to my whole life.
Yes,
brought
whole
up
life.
In the city, it's just been a wonderful experience for the whole Mitchell family. Every one of us has taken more interest in farming. Now, down towards the creek was still another hay house.
We had three hay houses over there.
Yeah. I'm trying to get a picture of the plantation.
Yes, it was one down I would say it was about 800 yards from the other one.
Yeah.
And that was across the branch. A little branch is over there, and so that we could feed the stuff over on the other side and not have to haul the stuff through there during the water.
About how many horses did it take to run the place?
Oh, no, we had 12.
You kept about 12?
We kept 16.
16?
We kept 16. And we kept four, we kept 10 workhorses and 6 utility horses. Mm-hmm. In case one should get lame or two get lame, we'd have some to go with.
And when they'd get too old to work, you'd turn them out to pasture and keep them just the same.
Sometimes we wouldn't, sometimes we'd sell them.
Yeah. Well, now, the ones that I remember, the oldest one was called Queenie. She was said to be about 30 or 32 when I last knew. Then there was Truce.
Yes, Truce, yes.
And she was a broodmare.
Yes.
Now, what was the history of Truce?
Truce, I'll tell you, I traded Truce raised good colts, and a fellow had a colt out there that'd been castrated, and he wanted it, and he traded me that for it, unbroken.
Well, And I had heard that she had been a racehorse and fell and broke a leg and she was given to you. That mixed up.
Yeah, that mixed up. No.
Well, that's the way with childhood memories.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now, was Sam a sorrel horse?
Yes, Sam was. And me was a little sorrel.
Now, were they from Truce?
Yeah, no, they were there. They were raised their own place.
But not from Truce?
No. Oh, no. Truce didn't have any colds.
Oh, I misunderstood.
She never had any colds. We kept bringing her, and she just wouldn't have any at all. And then, the year after you all were up there, she fell and broke a leg, and I shot her.
Well, now, I remember clearly hearing a story of a racehorse that had been in a race and was coming back and was so lively and fell off of a mountain road, and the people were going to shoot her, and your mother said, "We'll take her into Splendida." You don't remember any story like that at all?
I don't know it at all. I've heard so many of those. But I'll tell you what I have heard, that they used to have shows of the counties used to have shows who would have the best saddle horses and so forth, and Mr. Free had this horse. And it slipped on ice and broke his leg, or crippled it, and mother got it down and she cured it up.
And now which horse was that?
That was Sam.
Oh, now Sam was a tremendously vivacious horse.
I know we had two named Sam.
Well, now this sorrel one that you used to have to tie head down.
Yeah, that me.
Is that the one that?
No, May was raised right there.
I know May was Miss Ann's riding and driving her, but I'm talking about a workhorse that they could hardly ride because he was so fiery.
That is Tom.
I'm talking about one named Sam.
Yes, you're right. Sam. His name was Sam.
And they had to tie his head down, and he would leap along like a frog.
Yeah.
Later sold him to a mailman.
Yeah, mailman. Yeah, yeah.
Well, now, what was the background of that horse?
I'll tell you. Colton Smith from down into Nansom County wanted us to breed several for racehorses, and we bred three mares, and that is one of the colts.
That explains why it was such a tremendous horse. You don't know what breed it was?
No, I don't.
Thoroughbred or something?
Yeah, thoroughbred, yeah.
Well, now, how many cattle did you keep?
We kept about 80 cattle.
80? And milked about how many?
I would say we'd have about 12.
That's what I said. And we used to milk them out in the open.
Yeah.
And we had a little stool that was just shaped like a T.
Yeah.
And I had learned that you had to milk on the correct side and everything, but it wasn't very sanitary the way I milked. Sometimes we'd milk with dry hands and sometimes with wet hands. And then I remember the milk used to be taken, your mother take it down in the basement.
Basement,
let it settle and take the cream off.
Yeah.
And make butter.
Yes. Oh.
And she had a little wooden paddle that I think maybe your father had made or work it with. And so.
We had an old refrigerator down there. We kept our butter and so forth in.
But we'd go down in the ice house and bring up ice and would make ice cream, but about every other time a little salt. Then how many sheep did you keep?
We kept 50 sheep.
Kept 50 sheep. And what was the main income from the plantation? Was it from selling cattle or corn?
I did it all. All income was in, I don't know. It was hard to figure up. I remember 1903 and 1904. It was with cattle. I know in 1904, we cleared $1,000 on our cattle.
That's a lot of money in those days.
And we put it in a citizen's bank, and mother agreed for me that she'd, if I'd go and work and see that the work's done and so forth and so on, and after everything was paid up, we divide.
Yeah.
Well, my brother was drowned in two. That put me there. And
where was Walker at this time?
He was in Richmond College.
Yeah.
He graduated that year.
Uh-huh.
And well.
In 1904?
1904, yeah.
Well, I must have known him as a student, but I never connected that because I was
at Medical College, you see. Mm-hmm. He graduated Medical College.
Oh, at the Medical College.
At Medical College, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, Mrs. Henry Hill, did you ever know her?
Yeah, we knew.
She's right, mighty bad thing.
Right.
And now, I'll tell you, it's physical and mental. And she can't hear, and she's very pathetic. But she has the most wonderful husband that I ever knew in my life. And he started out with nothing, and she had one child by the first move and none by the other. And they picked me up nearly every day and take a drive all the way around over the country.
Yeah.
And something to take a mind off.
Yeah.
She's an 86 year.
Well.
And she was on Ruben Walker's daughter.
Then you sold some wheat, I suppose.
What's that? Yeah.
You sold some wheat.
Yeah, oh yes. Well, we used to have, in other words, we used to cultivate 300 acres in crops.
And about how many bushels of wheat would you make to an acre?
Well, if we made 12, 15 bushels, we thought it did mighty well. Anywhere from 1,200 bushels. And got 75 cents for it.
And when you would cut, of course, around the field.
Yeah.
And the rabbits would run into the middle, and then when you got in that, the rabbits would have to run out, and we'd chase them.
Yeah, chase them. And
they'd hit them back in the head and kill them.
And then take them home, and have them that night for supper.
And sometimes you used to shoot what we call bull bats.
Bull bats, yeah.
They would dart around, and we'd pick them and eat them.
Yeah.
Were they whippoorwills?
No.
Aren't they like whippoorwills?
No. Those whippoorwills are the toughest meat that anybody ever tempted.
But a bull bat.
They are just about like these starlings.
I see. A bull bat's more like a starling.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about corn? How much corn would you sell?
We would make from 8 to 10 barrels to the acre. 8 barrels. I'd say average about 8 barrels of corn to the acre.
How many bushels to a barrel?
Well, that'd be 40 bushels to the acre.
Well, that's pretty good. For those days, I think.
Oh, yes. And now if you don't make 50 or 60 bushels, you no farm at all.
No.
But it costs so much more.
Out at the big tree, did your property go out to the old burnt tree?
Burnt tree, yeah.
Did your property go out to the burnt
tree? Yes, went out to the old burnt tree.
Now, there was a Negro family living there, Aunt Millie.
And Uncle Tom.
Uncle Tom.
Yeah.
Now, were they related some way to the old plantation?
No, they were the Boudins.
Well, how did they get that little piece of land?
That was bought from the Winstons. The Winstons, they sold out all back up there in small lots. In other words, when this incorporation came in here, they gave them with the great proposition, they would give them 2 acres or 3 acres above that line, you know.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And all of those I don't know who he got his land from.
Yeah. Well, now things have changed there greatly, and there are no Walters living there, and you are the last of the family.
Yeah, the last of the family.
And how many families are living on that place now?
There's 24 living there.
24 families? What do they make their living doing?
Well, most of them, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's see now. I'll count them up. I don't know. I'll count up those that attempt to farm. The Weaver boys. They live on a portion of it. And there are three Tuckers four Tuckers that live on there. And then there are four Twymans. And we cut that up in 1915 and in small areas and sold it.
Yeah.
And most of them now metal mill here, then they have a payroll of 2,500.
So some of them do industrial
work. Uh-huh. Yeah. And they were gone over there and put up these four room little houses, you see,
and
by 2 acres, you see, and they're on a good hard surface road, you see. And you see we have this silk mill here, about 700.
So things have changed a good deal since your grandfather was a surveyor of this. Let me ask one other little question that I think of sometimes when I can't sleep at night and just go over old days. Standing, let's say, on the porch of retreat. And look out a little to the right, there was an apple orchard across a little ravine. On beyond there was a pasture where a lot of cattle were struck by lightning one time. Now go on beyond there, and there was a home. And in that home was a young man, about 15 or 16, and the whole community used to talk about what a wonderful young man he was, so helpful to his mother, bringing in wood without being told to, and bringing in water, and helping in every way in the field. How did he turn out in the end? Do you remember?
All of those moved away from him.
So you don't know how he
No, I don't know how they have done. The Tinsleys. I don't know.
What was the name?
Tinsleys.
Tinsleys. What happened to the Tatum family? I remember.
Well, the Tatum family, none of the Tatums that you knew over there, it's one of the girls living, but all of the rest of my dad.
Yeah.
And the father's dead, the mother's dead. And over there where they used to live, the two boys have that. They are milking 150 head of cattle, cows.
Well, now, they used to go to Walker Chapel.
Yeah, Walker Chapel, yes.
And Mr. Tatum used to lead in prayer, but he had a mighty hard time.
Yeah, mighty hard time, yes.
He would just perspire.
Yes.
I remember the barbecues there, and I remember some funerals there. There was a doctor there, kind of a big man, and he said to me...
Dr. Twyman?
Dr. Twyman?
Yeah.
Was he rather large?
Yeah.
He said to me that I never would be as big as he was, and I never will be able to tell him I believe I am as big as he is. Well, now, you said that one of the shops they made was a woodworking shop.
Yeah, one woodworking shop. The other was for shoeing and so forth.
Well, now, did they make the furniture in Retreat?
We used to get several people over there. We bought most of ours, but for a pair, we had two very good mechanics.
Who were they?
One was a Lloyd, and the other one was Ehart.
Yeah. Well, now, how much of the furniture of that house do you have left? A Retreat. How much of it survived the fires?
Only thing is that table in yonder.
I'll step in then and be right back.
That's the only thing that I have.
Well, now you have this desk here.
Well, and the desk here.
Yeah.
No. I had this desk fixed up. We had one exactly like it, but I had this one fixed up.
Well, this one never was in the family.
Yes, it's in the family, but it's down at my father's, and on the left we had our fire.
On the door plate.
You know, I brought it over here and had it fixed up. That I dumped. Was... my grandfather had the desk that was over there, and my father had this this desk for him down to his place, you see.
Yeah, on the lower place.
The lower place, yes. And when he married, he'd bring in his up there. He had one, and he put it up there in the barn, and when we had our fire. I knew it was down there, and I brought it up here, and it was all to pieces, and I got a fellow by the name of Ailer to fix it up.
And what would be the history of it?
It was my father's desk.
Where did he get it? Did he have it made, or he bought it?
Oh, yeah, he had it made.
Had it made on the place?
No, he had been not on his, on the old place where he was born.
So how old would that be?
Well, that house was built down there in 1778.
1778. So it's nearly 200 years old.
Yeah.
Lacking about 17, 18 years, probably.
Yeah.
Now, this table out here, what would be the history of that?
Now, I don't know where that table came from. Mother and father got old to it. I don't know where they got old to it.
Well, that's very beautifully made.
Yes.
I think this is especially beautiful.
I had that stuff sold, and for the top and everything in and I got an old fellow here to fix it up.
Yeah. Well, I'm mighty glad to see that beautiful picture of your sister.
Yeah, I think it's a colored photograph.
It's just beautiful.
Yeah.
I remember her so very, very well. Now she's gone, and your mother and Walker. But Walker has two children.
Yes. He has a boy and a girl.
How old are they?
The boy is 28.
Yeah.
And the girl's a little younger.
Do they live in Virginia?
Neither one of them live in Virginia. And the boy is doing mighty well. He's a doctor. And he married Bill Vivian. He's there and connected with a school work in California.
You
he had a wonderful
see,
job.
You don't see them very often.
Not very often.
No. Well,
they have two children. And I better not have this recorded, though.
Well, we're just about to the end of the tape, and I want to thank you, Charles.
Well, it's been a pleasure. I don't know of anybody that I'd rather talk to than talking to you.
Well, Broadus and Terry and Mary and we'll all be very interested. My brother George is in Scotland and not very well, but
not
all
very
of us
well.
Will enjoy this tape very, very much indeed.
Well, now, any time that any of you all people want to go back and forward to your place and so forth, I got some rooms that they can have.
Well, that's mighty nice, and we appreciate it.